give your name.
Okay.
And so on, so on, so on.
Okay.
Hi, this is Yvette Jenkins of Love Travels Imports. We are here at 19452 Livernois, Detroit, Michigan, which is considered the Avenue of Fashion. And we've been operating out of this location since 2013. This was part of the Light Up Livernois, the first Light Up Livernois, and that was done by the Detroit Design Festival. This journey as an entrepreneur really started, this particular phase started in 2010 when I was downsized from a corporate job. I am a lifelong Detroiter and in fact grew up here on the west side, not far from where we are now. And I went to parochial schools. Growing up from first grade all the way through 12th grade. So that provided me, I think, a different kind of experience. And ironically, when I was 17, that was my first time traveling on my own, alone, and I went to New York City to visit family who I had not met before. Ironically, my grandmother's brother and his family lived there, and it was kind of a default trip because my school, the class trip was, of all places, London, and I preferred the Hawaii one, and when the Hawaii one didn't happen, it was like, I don't want to go to London, but I did want to do something graduating from high school, so I went to New York, and New York, for a Midwest girl, was such a different kind of experience. And it exposed me to a different kind of energy than in the Midwest. And traveling exposed me to a whole different world of exploring and seeing people. And art is something that was always an interest for me. And to go to a place like that with this convergence of all of this different energy was fascinating, and it lit up this desire to see more of the United States, more of the world, and that was the beginning of it. And so at that point, every year, I had to go somewhere, a couple times, and it just grew out of that. I got a job. Not one that I particularly was fond of, but it was a way to pay for school. And then, you know, that allowed me to continue to explore, et cetera. And I've been to, I think, probably about over 40 of the states, about 42 of the states in the U.S., and throughout the Caribbean, to Asia, to South America, to Africa, to Europe. And there are places that I continue to want to see. And during these explorations, these trips, one of the things I always did was look at the art and try to find the galleries. And I think it was a means and a way for me to create and develop my eye and how I saw things and looking for things that were unique, that had texture and that type of thing. So about, as I said, about 10 years ago, when I was downsized from the corporate job, I wanted to do something that was impactful. And I started working with one artisan group in South Africa. And over these years, it's expanded to multiple artisan groups, to multiple countries. And, you know, it's kind of interesting as I think about this. I had a conversation earlier today with someone who met me about 9 years ago in this process. And she said, you know, you've always come up with things that are unique, that are different. You just have this eye that curates things that's fun, that, you know, I really like. And that, upon reflection, is makes me feel good and is, I think, one of the signature things as far as my business and the kind of product that I carry here. Let's see. And it's evolved over time, When I first started out here, I was next door. Now, I'm in this space, sharing space, and in 2019, it was a tremendously challenging year. The construction was going on, and they literally took out everything from building to building. When I say building to building, I mean from one side of the street to the other side of the street. And that was when I went through the process with Prosperous in trying to find a solution. I had met with them at the end of 2018 discussing some of the different challenges. And one of the, Matthew, in fact, had suggested, well, why don't you think about a line of credit? And that line of credit could enable you to have the flexibility to do some different things. And so we started the discussions the end of 2018, and then throughout the first half of 2019, we went through the process. The idea was that this line of credit would allow me the flexibility to be able to then and do more shows, to create an additional revenue stream in order to help the business. That is really, I think, very important here, especially in Detroit. Being in a neighborhood and being in a commercial corridor within the neighborhood, we don't have the traffic and the volume that you get in a downtown or even midtown. And so this, I think, is that next happening place. But that's been next happening for the last 7 years that we've been here. So if you want to think about sustainability and longevity, you got to think about alternatives and other ways to generate. And so doing other shows and going out and doing pop-ups at other venues is one of my strategies. And so this line of credit is allowing me to be able to do the show. So I only use it as needed. So far I have accessed it, I would say probably about 4 times. And the first time I accessed it was in October of 2019. I did a show. And the approach that I've taken is that once the show is over, and then I pay back. And so that works out for me because it frees up cash flow and it allows me the ability to be able to broaden my reach and market the products that I carry. And this year I have 2 product lines that I'm really going to put a lot of energy behind. Both of them are from Haiti artisans. And one is what I'm calling my gratitude collection, because I think in terms of energy and what you do, it's by what you express and what you give out that returns and comes back to you. And so gratitude is kind of where my headspace is at, in that expressing it, sharing it, and communicating and having other people be able to get that energy. Because that's one of the things that some of my regular customers say that they love about my product line, is that they can feel the positive energy contained within the product. They get that kind of vibe from it. Everybody is not going to be my customer, but those who are, they're very loyal, and they're very supportive, and they are, I just love them. It's just great. But anyway, the gratitude, so it'll be around, we'll probably release that in Q3 this year, just in time for the holidays, but it'll express the whole idea of like peace, joy, love, that kind of thing. And we'll systematically roll that out, and we'll do some advanced work to kind of prepare. The other one is a group that I've been working with in Haiti for about 5 years now, and that relationship has evolved and is a really fun product that, in fact, I introduced it in the fall, and people really like, you know, just the entry of that. And so I have a young person who is going to be working with me during the month of May as part of her senior project, and we're just going to do a deeper dive into putting together the strategy and rolling that out to a broader market. So.
And can you expand on how you sort of curate this?
Organically, I would say, is the way that that has happened. Like, the first group that I worked with was in South Africa. So when I went to South Africa and met with them, I'm always looking. There are things that are traditionally associated with a country or with a group, and then you have that mix of things that's different. You know, it's not the same thing that everybody's doing. The focus is always on quality. Things that have a very high quality that is very evident when you look at it. Like, for example, I recently did a show, and one of the ladies came up and she was looking at everything. She said, "Oh my God, you have real stuff." Meaning that, you know, a lot of the things that it's out in the marketplace is so, you know, it's evident that the quality isn't there, that it isn't substantial. It's not something that you're going to have a long time. And so she was just like excited about seeing something that tangibly looked beautiful and that could be sustainable. So when I go around, that's what I do. Like, for example, I was in a visit to Peru, and I was walking around and you see a lot of the different things, and then I visit a lot of places and look. And in one particular location, I said, you know, that's a different twist on how that is made. And I reached out to the person that had put that project together. We met. She brought me different samples of things. And then, and I'll show you in a bit. And then, so recently, over this past holiday season, I was looking for some things that were small, that had a really good price point that people can quickly buy. And we collaborated and have these coin purses made from her with that unique quality. And so that's really how I do it. Go explore, see a lot of things, and then that thing that kind of stands out, that's what I dig deeper into.
Fantastic. So my next question is, what is the draw for this community for you here? Mm-hmm. You know, like how many years have you been here?
Mm-hmm.
Touch on that for a minute.
Okay.
And, you know, sort of like how you feel you're welcomed here, mm-hmm, by the community.
Well, this, I started over here about 6.5 years ago. It was for the first Detroit Design Festival. They had a segment of it called Light Up Livernois. And I have to tell you, that was probably one of the most challenging and fun weekends getting ready for it, because I only had, what they did was, the plan was to activate 10 spaces with 10 businesses, have art all over the place. And I actually received word about my location about a week before it was supposed to jump off. And at the time, I set up next door. And so we had really only about 3 days to transform this space. We did it. And by the grace of different artisan groups that I work with and getting product in, I mean, we managed to pull it all together. That weekend was amazing. It was like being in New York. Imagine that on this street. There was traffic. There was walking traffic. I mean, literally thousands of people. And it was in the rain. It was misty. And people were just coming in and walking in the door and looking at everything. And, you know, people were buying and talking and all the rest of that. And it was so funny because one of my sisters, she came by to help me out, because I thought I'd be able to go home and change clothes and get all, you know, ready for this. Couldn't do it. It was just, I was trying to do so many different things, because in addition to that, I was sponsoring a documentary film called The Silkies of Madagascar. And I had a Peace Corps volunteer. I had invited them in. So I was doing something at the university, having that whole presentation workshop going on, setting up the shop here. So I didn't make it home that day. And about 10 o'clock at night, my sister Ruth, who had stopped by to help me, she just shut the door. She says, I'm going to close the door here. Otherwise, we'll be here all night. You don't know how to tell people no. You're going to just keep, you know, talking to people, sharing information, you know. And that created, I think, a level of expectation of what it would be like. Unfortunately, we ran into the polar vortex. The design festival is in September. So it was the worst winter we had in a long time. Snow started in November. So, and then come January, you could have shot a cannon down the street and not hit anybody. The weather was so arctic, it was just mind-boggling. We went from the excitement of that first day, thousands of people, to like, oh my God, what have I done? But this neighborhood is one in which there is a historical attachment to the street that I think slowly is coming back into phase. The neighborhood adjacent, or the neighborhoods adjacent to here, are people who have disposable income and who also have an interest in the arts and things creative. So I think this is a perfect location to have something like this. It's just that transitional piece where people can habitually think about coming here for the kinds of things that they want. You have the art galleries that have stuck and stayed, that have their fans, and you have some of the food-based businesses that are here that are pulling people. And I think with the completion of the construction, that it's going to really make it more pedestrian-friendly, and so people are going to start thinking about walking, biking, and coming up here and exploring. I mean, we've seen evidence, you know, of that. They're going to get ready to put new furniture and landscaping on the street itself. So it'll really look like a very pleasant boulevard that, you know, you might want to stop, look around. Because what we find now is that people have a particular destination, and so they beeline it to that destination and then beeline it back to their car or whatever. But I think that those kinds of things are going to change.
And what was probably the most like challenging part for you having the business here, and how Prosper has helped you with that? If you want to touch on that a little bit more.
Okay. I think that particularly with the construction challenges, I really had to think in terms of having additional revenue sources. And so Prosperous, by me getting the line of credit, enabled me to be able to do additional shows. One of the things, a lot of the shows, for example, the first show that I did, it was $725, the fee, to do that show. And if I had to have come out of pocket for that, I might not have been able to do it. You know, however, having them, having that flexibility allowed me to do that show, allowed me to get in front of some customers, and allowed me to generate some revenue at a very, very, very challenging time. So I'm very grateful that that option was something that I was able to take. They've been extremely flexible in working with me. I can make a call and in very short order get what I need, take care of it, and then on the flip end of it, as soon as I finish a show, I make sure to get that back to them. So I think that, you know, it's been a very good working relationship.
And what do you see for the future here with